Well, as you've been clearly aware, we've had some technical difficulties with Zoom and where we feed that through to. So, but I think we're going live. Everyone's telling me they can hear me and they can see us. I think Ben and Vicky, I think, are on as well now as well. Ian, we're having difficulty with still. But good morning, everybody. We're so sorry, half an hour late. Trying to get on. We had so many technical difficulties this morning, but we are here and we are together, and we're just going to let this morning run and see what happens, see how it all goes. Ben and Vicky are going to lead us in some singing in a few moments, but can I just say a massive thank you to Phil, who is frantically still working behind the scenes trying to get everything back up. He's taken everything down, put it all back up again, so we're just going to see how it works. So big thank you to Phil. Everybody in their homes can clap. But Ben, Vicky are going to lead us in worship. I'm just going to sing, just going to read a psalm, Psalm 100. We're thankful to God, aren't we, that we can even be together online right now. Psalm 100 says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." We're going to sing joyfully this morning because we can actually be together online. "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his faithful love endures, his faithfulness through all generations." So we're going to see how this morning goes. Ben and Vicky are going to lead us. We're hoping words will come up and that everything will work. So let's worship together. Maybe you want to stand, maybe you want to jump around, maybe you want to raise your hands. We can't see each other, but we are together and we are worshiping. So let's, Ben, Vicky, will you lead us as we see how this goes?
Forever, Lord, you are good and your mercy 'cause you are worthy of it all. Lord, you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, you are worthy of it all. All my worship, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. All my thanks to you, God. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Thank you.
Where are your presence, Lord? So I encourage you right now, maybe just put your hands out in front of you as families, as households, as individuals. Lord, I just ask as we put our hands out, just as a physical representation, that our heart, our soul wants more, wants your presence. But better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. As appealing as those days may be elsewhere, they do not compare to being in the courts of the King of Kings. I sense even as I say those words, deep down, some of you maybe, even myself, maybe we're like, really? I'm not sure. Maybe there's disappointment in the presence of God right now in this place. Maybe we can think of days where we've had moments and it's been so, so good. And then we think of those moments where we come before God and it's silent and there's a disappointment. Church, I want to encourage you and say that God is with you on those days where you've experienced joy and pleasure just as much as he's with you on those days where you hear silence and nothing at all. His presence is with you. He is for you and he loves you. And it is grace and his mercy that allows us to enjoy those days. There is much about him and about a life of worship as these moments right now. I just wonder if we can just sing together, just that chorus, just better is one day. Let's make a declaration. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Maybe we're having technical glitches again. I think we have. I think we've lost Ben and Vicky. It's fine. Obviously different plans this morning. It's the way it goes. No, I think we've lost them. Never mind. And guys, as you can see this morning, we are having some fun. Zoom is playing up somewhat, which is what we use to kind of gather together. And then the feed thing that we go through to is also playing up. So just bear with us while we try and navigate this whole new thing of presenting something technically, and the technicalities of it don't seem to work. So I'm going to bring Ian in. We're going to, last few weeks, we've been gathering around 1 Peter 3:15, where we paused our Psalm 23 conversation. And so we're going to start again back into Psalm 23 and pick up that. I don't know if I've frozen now. Am I still on? I'm seeing a frozen picture of me, but maybe not. It's all very, very confusing. So we're going to start a conversation. Hopefully it's still going, and we'll see what happens. Ian, are you on with us? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, John. Hey. Yes, there we go. Yeah. Yes,
fantastic. We are back. Oh, Becky, thank you. John, you're fine. That's great. I'm glad we've got a live chat that is telling us and affirming that we're all okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, these church are going to listen into now what the conversation that we would normally have at about quarter to ten on a Sunday morning, where we bring our thoughts together around this that we've been looking at throughout the week, and then piece something together that we can all kind of, that looks like we've
know what we're doing,
which we haven't this week. We haven't been able to. So this is our quarter to nine conversation where we kind of flick around all over the place and go, oh yeah, I think we'll include that. I think we'll try this. And so yeah, let's see what happens. But we've paused on Psalm 23 to go into looking at hope. Just as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we just took a pause moment. We're back. We're gonna conclude Psalm 23 this week, and we're gonna take communion as well in a few moments. So guys, get communion stuff ready. David's gonna lead us in communion this morning. I just noticed that in this moment of the psalm, we see up to now verses 1 to 4 has been the Lord is my shepherd, and now it's suddenly the Lord is a host, and there's a table, and there's this imagery of a table that is set before us in the presence of our enemies.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? I love this.
Love it.
I mean, you couldn't time it, could you? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my internet gremlins. You anoint my head with oil. I mean, this is just magnificent. It really is. I think you're right. You see this shift, don't you, from the shepherd out the flock in the field into the place of friendship and intimacy and joy. I love the fact. I don't know what you're like, John, when you face trial and trouble and maybe some really difficult. My appetite goes. Now, for me, that's really unusual because I've got a really healthy appetite.
Yeah.
But the fact that actually God speaks, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, that you can still feast in the midst of trial and trouble, this sense of joy and hope and life because of the friendship we have with God. I don't know about you, but I just find that beautiful that we're able to do that. And yeah, that's just some
lovely thought, isn't it? I think for me, that imagery of all things, a table, like a table for me is where our family gather. It's where our friends come. So the idea of being sat with my enemies just baffles me. It's like that person over there, I'm against and they're against me. Now, maybe I've done something to them. Or they've done something to me. So there's anonymity between us, and yet we're sat at this table, and I'm going to just pick up this bread roll and eat it. Mm. And I'm going to enjoy this meal. And it's almost like it's not hurried. There's no confusion. The enemy's at the door, but God says, come down, sit down. I'm going to put my presence with you and have my presence with you. And there's just something of in that moment of turmoil, of stress, that God says, my presence is here, and it's with your enemy just as much. And it's like, it's not me versus you anymore. I'm reminded of, is it Joshua when he's on the way to Jericho's, and he says, and the angel of the Lord comes, he says, whose side are you on? Are you on me or my enemies? Mm-hmm. And he says, actually, I'm on no one's side. I'm on the Lord's side. So you either get on my side or you don't. It's not about me being on your side. You get on my side. Yeah. I'm just reminded of that, of like this table where there's, clear division, yet God sits in the presence of it, and as we gather around him, suddenly something shifts and something changes.
Yeah It's great. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it, that we, you know, through the work of Jesus, we get the opportunity to sit at his table, and so it's not him joining ours, we join his. And that idea then of the enemies they are enemies, or are they God's enemies? Are they opposed to the work of God, or are they opposed to us? And actually, if we're joined with Him, then actually there is that sense of our enemies can't participate in that because their hearts are set against God. And maybe this is just the way that I read this, but you know, you read this, prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I get this sense of God's people feasting, like, just because you're right. I love the idea of that, of table fellowship and being around the table, joy and just enjoying presence, like not having to go anywhere. I love that Mediterranean kind of concept of enjoying a meal over hours, not just minutes. It's that elongated period. And then I get this image of our enemies looking in the glass, being absolutely confused by the image that they're surrounding this place but not able to participate, and looking that, you know, like the God's people just enjoying presence, enjoying security, enjoying safety at the request of the host. And I think that's what it maybe looks like for us to look distinct as well. What does it look like? So, you know, when internet gremlins attack, you know, can we still smile? Can we still go, Lord, you are still good? You know, when pandemics hit, what does it look like for us to be a joy-filled people, so that we might just know that sense of overflow, really, of presence.
I love the fact that it's the table that is this place where Jesus brings enemies together. And it's like reconciliation, isn't it? The table is that and we're going to come and take communion in a few moments. And it's that place of reconciliation. I'm reminded of, I think it's John 21, where Peter has, just before that, Peter's been told by Jesus at the Last Supper that you're going to betray me. And he's like, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. And the moment happens and the cockerel crows and Peter denies Jesus three times to that teenage girl around the campfire. It's like, you know, I don't know him. And suddenly that moment of realization. But then we see in John 21 that the disciples have gone back to that which they know, the familiarity. And Jesus calls to them and they realize who he is. And I love that moment of reinstatement of Peter, where he asks him three times, doesn't he? Do you love me? But it's around food. Yeah. It's around a campfire. The bread, it says in John 21, there is bread, the fish is on the campfire. Yeah. And it's that place around that meal table where there is a complete restoration. And I just want to say now, if anyone who's listening in on this, maybe you're part of our church and you have been for years, you can know reconciliation with your creator God through what Jesus has done. Maybe you've just tripped in on this and you're not part of a church and you're just seeing people gathering online and wondering what it's all about. You're listening on demand at another point. I want to say, as we take communion in a few moments, this is a moment where you can actually just pray you can speak to God who created you really simply and just say, I don't get it all, but something is stirring within me right now about who you are and who I am in view of that. And there's just this reconciliation and this restoration of a relationship because of the table that Jesus sets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it as the psalm goes on, it's like all the days of my life.
Yeah.
It just draws into this sense that this is an everyday, all-consuming living out of the fullness of that invitation to feast with God that transforms everything. So I think that point really, that invitation you've offered there, John, for people who might be exploring faith or trying to work out that maybe they've had that presented, we've got to wait till the end of life to experience the something of God or you know, the heaven which is to come. And that's true. We don't want to downplay the sense of the eternal. But I think we view that in light view eternity in light of what God wants to do in the here and the now, but also allow that which is to come inform the here and the now. So it's this interplay, isn't it, between the hope that is to come and the lived reality of hope here and now. That I guess I would want to say to people who are watching who don't yet know Jesus, that he transforms everything. It's not, you know, because he is that great redeemer that you've just talked about, he restoring and reconciling all things. And I think Psalm 23 just paints that beautiful picture and invitation to know him as the one who leads us into goodness and mercy, you know, faithful one, because that's who he is. You know, I think it says in verse 6, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. That pursuit of those things, it's not that we pursue them, but it pursues us. What? Why? Because actually that's maybe the character and nature of God himself, is that his goodness and his faithfulness, his faithful love pursue us. And we get to feast on that. I just think that's absolutely magnificent.
I love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this verse specifically. The verse 6, only goodness and faithful love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He says that your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of Yahweh for the rest of my life. I love it that David didn't say maybe goodness and mercy. Let's just hope that goodness and mercy, you know, let's just live this life and just think, well, you know, we can only hope that things will get better, or possibly this isn't I have a hunch. This is a declaration of this is who God is, that God says that I am not just sat in my throne in the heavens, ruling and sovereign. I am a pursuing God. I am following you. I am chasing after you. I am wanting a relationship with you. Again, the table thing, that idea of being in a table and the intimate relationship of being with people. I want that. And I want you to experience goodness and mercy. It's like when we embrace that relationship and pursue that relationship ourselves, we realize that it overwhelms us with a God that actually is out pursuing our ability to pursue him. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And that, I think that's the full life that Jesus invites us into. And I think so often we hold back, and actually the invitation is to step fully in and to just embrace all that he has and all that who he is, so that we truly might feast on him. It is incredible. It really is. I mean, I don't know, John, I get the sense this morning, actually, there might be some people that are watching who have been walking with Jesus for a little while, and may be held back a little bit. And actually, I think the invitation for you today is to not hold back the promises that he'll walk with you even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. But the promise is that you don't have to camp there in the difficulties, that he'll walk with you through it, because he is the resurrection and life. I think we come back this sense of hope that we have in Jesus, that even if death comes, death is not the end. It's like life. But in the here and the now, that which we have, I think Jesus is just inviting you and I to pursue him more. But also, I just wonder whether there's people watching today, John, that have not yet chosen to walk with Jesus and follow Jesus. And I say that with really, I suppose, a gentle invitation to explore him. And if that's true for you today, and you've been maybe following us over the last few weeks and picking up some of the content around talk and discussion about Jesus and hope, I guess I would just want to put an invitation out to those people to let us know and respond using one of those moments. I think you can indicate that you'd like to know some more, or join the one of the prayer room, you know, indicate you'd like some prayer, and we can chat with them, because I think the offer for life is available today. I think there might be some people who are watching, whether it's now or later, who want to get to know Jesus a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even for those as well, I just want to say to those that are would call themselves a follower of Jesus, that there's a promise in this scripture about who God is. And I think sometimes our expectation of who God is isn't met because, I'm just reminded of the scripture says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Mm-hmm. But actually maybe there's a call on our life to orientate our days around seeking him. And that doesn't, you know, we've been looking at worship this week as connect groups. That doesn't mean we can't go to work. It does at the moment for some. But, you know, as we ease this lockdown, it doesn't mean that we can't do that, which we would normally do. But it's building our life around the reality of who God is and inviting him into every single moment. I read one scholar that said about this psalm. He said, verse 1, we have a happy life. In verse 4, we have a happy death. In verse 6, we have a happy eternity. This like progression of life. He says, in this great psalm, Psalm 23, we find the Lord is with me, the Lord is beneath me, the Lord is before me, he is around me, he is after me, and he is ahead of me.
Right.
I think God's doing everything he can to try and create a relationship with us. Yeah. He has done everything and continues to. I guess the question for me is, do I want it? That ultimately, do I actually want that relationship? Yeah, and it's like, if I do, then God, I need to start pursuing you and seeking you and figuring out ways to orientate my days around you and my thought life and what I dwell on and what I pursue and what I watch and what I allow in and what I allow to come out. All those things, it's hard work, but it's what is the framework of a life that is seeking to glorify God. And in that, you know, I can only say in my life, in that, God starts to do something. Yeah. Things start to change and life starts to look different when we pursue those things.
That's right.
Anything to close with, Ian?
Just to say, to point really to John 15 as a key passage for that. Because the invitation is to abide with Jesus, and that word abide, remain, in some translations it carries with it this sense of a decision and a choice of the will, a determining of the will. You see, because God, all the way through the Gospels and actually all the way through Scripture, God never forces himself on people to say, you've got to. He invites us and we get to. So it's a choice of a human response for us to go, I am choosing to pursue God, even though we don't fully understand him. Because who can understand the ways and the means of the Lord in great fullness? But the beauty of it is that when we make the willful choice to follow and remain in Jesus, he determines to reveal more of himself to us. And so the more he reveals of himself to us, the more we grow in likeness and grow in understanding of who he is. And that's open to anybody who'll say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to respond to what you've done on the cross for me. But then the outworking of remaining in him is that we live a fruitful life. So it's which comes first, the obedience or the response to Jesus? And it's the response to who Jesus is which leads to the obedience. And it's in the obedience that we're shaped and formed, and fruitfulness comes. And so I think this, you know, the abundant, the overflow, my cup overflows in this psalm. I think it talks to this abundance of life, abundance of joy, abundance of knowing him, that can only ever truly come from making that willful choice to remain in him, to know him. I think often we strive for fruitfulness. I think actually maybe we should strive for remaining, and out of our striving to remain, that decision, daily choices, which, you know, you've highlighted, what are we going to watch? What am I going to do? How am I going to live? How am I going to respond? In light of who Jesus is, how am I going to do those things? We actually bear a fruitful life.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, you know, it's so huge for us as God's people, and it's so huge for us as followers of Jesus, because I think when we do that, we live a life that for those whom God is calling is a really attractive life.
I love that. I love the idea of us being so consumed with remaining, because that's something we can do, isn't it? I just want to encourage some of you that may be listening and say, like, I've been doing this for a while and I just don't feel his presence, or I don't hear his voice, or this, you know, pursue remaining. Let God reveal himself how God is going to reveal himself. The other day I had everything set up. I was in this room and I got my Bible open. I'd got like an old book of hymns, just reading through some rich theology and songs. And I'd got like everything was set up. I was like, God, I just need to hear your voice now. Just come, Lord Jesus, and speak. And it was like crickets, just empty, just nothing. And I'm like, God, like audible voice right now would be great. But I'll, you know, just a dream, just a vision, just anything would be fine right now. Just a picture, you know, even if it's just a random picture, I don't mind. Just something right now would be fine. And you get nothing. And I'm like, I'm sat there and I'm just frustrated. I'm like, God, what is wrong with me? I thought you meant to love me. And all those thoughts suddenly come in. And I'm just like, God, hang on, whoa, 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 whoa. We've just been working through the Lord's Prayer as a church in our connect groups. We've been working through Psalm 23, and I went back to those things. I was like, God, you're my Father. You are as close to me as you could possibly ever get. If I don't feel it, I don't care. I know it to be true. You're my shepherd. You don't just give me enough. You give me the more than enough. My cup is overflowing. I'm going to dwell on that, and I'm going to let you reveal yourself in the timing that you want to reveal yourself. I just want to remain. And so I want to encourage the church and just say, how about we become a church that is so consumed with remaining that actually in that place, God starts to reveal himself with each other and through his word and through prophecy and through loads of different ways that he will speak into our life when we get busy remaining.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome.
Guys, we're going to come and take communion now. David's going to lead us in communion, and hopefully you've got something at home that you can use. But I'm so thankful for our elder David, who's just going to kind of conclude this couple of minutes thought around Psalm 23 as he plants it in where it is. And also, I just want to thank Layla, who is, there's going to be a video that follows David that's just going to guide us through communion. You take communion at any point you want during that video, just like a 3-4 minute video. And Layla has adapted a song that she wrote for communion based on Psalm 23. She adapted it for this moment. So I just want to thank Layla for doing that for us. Just some creativity in our church, which is fantastic. So we're going to enjoy communion together as David leads us with a thought, and then Layla leads us in that song and that communion moment.
Well, John, it's been really good today. You and Ian have been able to lead us through this beautiful Psalm number 23. And I believe it may be one of the very few portions of Scripture which is recognized even by those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, or who indeed have perhaps never, ever even opened a Bible, let alone read one. And yet they know the Lord is my shepherd. But of course, for believers, Psalm 23 is very important. But we also recognize Psalm 22, the one before, and Psalm 24, the one after. Psalm 23 is part of a trio, a little group of very important psalms, which really, they belong together. And that's because Psalm 22 starts with the cry which Jesus would later quote from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Whereas Psalm 23 begins, the Lord is my shepherd. So the first, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the Lord is my shepherd. So the order of these two psalms would imply that until we've been to the cross and found the Lord, and found the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, we're not able to regard him as our shepherd. And then Psalm 24 says, who is this King of glory? And the reply comes next, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Thus, we only have Jesus as the Good Shepherd because he was first our Saviour, and he's our coming King. So as we go into communion now in a few minutes, I'd like you to just keep those thoughts in mind as we celebrate together, because these elements on that night of Passover, which Jesus changed forever with the bread and the wine, the unleavened, the sinless life, and the wine, it's back in Leviticus, tells us it represents the atonement by reason of the life which it represents. So keep these thoughts in mind as we now come and take the bread and the wine together.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare, and I.
There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table I battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my.
Ben plays right now. Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd minister. Lord, for those that feel like they're at a table in the presence of their enemies, let them know that they're surrounded by you. Psalm 139 says, you've surrounded me on every side, behind me and before me, and you place your hand on my shoulder. Lord, in the midst of that place where we might feel surrounded, surrounded by a virus, by circumstances that we can't control, Lord, let us know your presence upon us, around us, before us, underneath us. Let's experience the touch of your presence. Lord, we pray that this week would be a week where we know your presence with us. Lord, whatever this week looks like, maybe it looks like we are being led by the shepherd. Maybe it feels like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe we feel like we're encamped at a table with our in the presence of our enemies. Maybe our cup feels like it is overflowing and we know your goodness and your mercy. Whatever the emotion and the experience of this week, Lord, I pray a sure and steadfast hope in your presence. We would know you. We'd know you are with us and that you are for us. We'd be convinced beyond all doubt who you are in the midst of what we're experiencing. And everybody said, amen. I'm just going to hope you all said it together because it's been one of those mornings. We've got there, I think. But we're going to end with something now that, can I just say, I have been bursting with pride in a good way all week. Just been so thrilled by what you're about to experience and see, because Psalm 23 ends with the line, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's a song that many of you will know called The Goodness of God that we've sang in church that takes that line and just kind of repeats it as a bridge. And a few weeks ago, we asked our worship team to do something a bit creative. There's loads of things flying around the internet with worship teams and different churches. If you've seen the blessing video, what an amazing video that is of people in their homes just contributing creatively to a whole song. And we asked our worship team to start doing this. And so it's taken a few weeks and we've managed to get some of the members from our worship team just to input. The sound you're about to hear in the video you're about to see has been made completely by our worship team. There is no backing track. They have put this together and I want to thank every single person for being part of this. Thank Alan for doing the production, the audio and the visual. Just a moment of pride of seeing where God has brought our church. When I look at who's involved in this and the stories, those people that are in this, and also where God is journeying us as a church, I want you to know that God's goodness and mercy is running after you. It is running after you. So can I encourage you this week, slow down enough to experience it and let this be a moment right now as our worship team sing this over us. So I encourage you, can you stand if you're not? Maybe raise your hands, ask God to fill your life with his goodness and mercy. Start to pray over your street. Maybe you need to go right now and put your hands against the walls of your house and pray for your neighbors that they would start to experience the goodness and mercy of God as you are praying for them, and conversations will start and they'll be like, I just this weird experience this week. And you're like, yeah, I've been praying for you. And just opportunities to meet our neighbors with the goodness and mercy of God. So I want to hand over to our worship team. We're going to finish this service for us. So be encouraged by what you're about to see. What an amazing creative team we have. We're just so thankful for them. So please enjoy this video and we'll make that available as well in the newsletter tomorrow. But please enjoy this. Phil, will you play this for our church?
I love your voice. Yes, I will sing of the goodness.